to have your Bible open. This is going to be a discussion today. I'm just going to ask some questions rather than like a sermon type thing. So, first question for you. We're starting in 1 Timothy 3. This is before we start reading the text. What has Paul been saying in chapter 2? So that we put this in its context.
I was kind of talking about how to manage within the church interactions.
Okay.
Yeah. How people, men and women, should be, you know, the body of Christ.
Okay. Yeah, so he's talked about different roles for men and women, particularly with regard to teaching and authority.
Leadership.
Within the local fellowship, local church. That's been the immediate context. That's what he's talking about. Uh-huh. So it's really a leadership context. That's where we are. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's read verses 1 through 7, chapter 3. I'll go ahead and read. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Okay, big picture. These seven verses, what are they talking about? Big picture. I don't want to get into the details of each nut and bolt yet, but right now, what's just the general topic?
Qualifications as an elder.
That's right.
What's important?
Okay, how does this fit the context he's been talking about?
Well, it has to do with the way the church is ordered.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're in the middle of a leadership context, and what does he do? He talks about leadership.
Yeah.
And so chapter 2 and chapter 3 actually flow really nicely together with what he just got done saying and what he's saying now. Okay, verse 1. Look at verse 1. What does he say?
He says it's a good thing if someone wants to be an overseer.
Okay. What is an overseer?
I looked at that word down here. It's basically an elder, but it has another... bishop.
Okay. Yeah, their older translations translate it bishop.
Mm-hmm.
That word today makes us think of something specific.
Yeah. Right.
And the thing it makes us think of isn't exactly what this is. That may actually, way back in the day, have been appropriate. I don't know. But today, that word isn't the best word. What is an overseer? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to look at what Peter has to say about this.
Right.
And... we're going to look at the first three verses, 1 Peter chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you. Okay, so who's he talking to?
Overseers.
He's talking to the elders. Among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. So that's his command to them. Shepherd God's people. Exercising oversight. That's the same word that we have in 1 Timothy. Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Okay, so what you see here, the word elder, what does an elder do? He shepherds. That word shepherd? Mm-hmm. Pastor. Uh-huh. That's what a pastor is. Mm-hmm. And exercising oversight? Overseer. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, go to Acts chapter 20. And this is where Paul is going to talk to the Ephesian elders. You know, he's saying so long to the Ephesian elders. Mm-hmm. And so here's what he says. Look at chapter 20, Acts 20, verse 17. Now, from Miletus, he, that's Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. When they came to him, he said to them, and then we have this big long speech, and we're not going to read the whole speech, but jump down to verse 28. He's talking to the Ephesian elders, and he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To care, that's shepherding, that's 1 Peter, right? To care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Okay, you can go back to 1 Timothy now. We're done traveling. You can come back home. So what I want you to see is this. A pastor is an elder, is an overseer in Scripture. The words are used interchangeably in Scripture. We sometimes make distinctions between them, but in the New Testament, there weren't really distinctions between those concepts. So then they're just different words for the same office. And so then think of what, so then what's an overseer do? He shepherds. He cares for people. He's caring for the flock. He's also responsible for oversight. So there's a leadership and authority role that goes with it. But it's married to a shepherding role. In other words, it's not a hard-handed leadership. It's a shepherding leadership. They're interchangeable, those words. Okay, now let's go back to verse 1. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. Why is it good to desire to be an overseer? He says it is. Why?
It's a noble task.
Okay, it's a noble task.
Yeah, I can understand why he would say that. When Jesus kept talking about the first shall be last, you need to be the servant. You know,
yeah.
Then if someone aspires, it might look sinful because you're aspiring to be the top rather than a servant.
Yeah.
And I can understand why he felt like he needed to say that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus talked this way to Peter at the end. Mm-hmm. Peter, do you love me? Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Three times, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And then Peter, in 1 Peter 5, you know, he probably has that in mind, right? To the elders, I exhort you, shepherd the flock that is under your care. Isn't that feed my sheep? He's never forgotten it, what Jesus said to him.
I guess maybe the verse that we saw when we were on our tour, say, which is cool, said not under compulsion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And here it's talking, it doesn't say you should aspire, it just says he who aspires, which is interesting.
Right, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. So let me ask this question then. Can you have an inappropriate desire to be an overseer?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so... How do you tell the difference between a good desire to be an overseer and a bad desire to be... Because Paul says it's a good desire, right? So it's good. And yet we know, we have seen, you know, people who, it's a bad desire. How do you tell the difference?
Why?
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the motive?
What's the motive?
Why do you want to be an overseer?
Is it financial gain? Is it mm-hmm. self-aggrandizement? Is it everything for themselves? Or is it to serve?
That's kind of why you gave these qualifications.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
To look at it, I mean, it's hard to know sometimes, but if you do know the person well, and you may be able to tell whether they are any of these things that says you shouldn't be.
Okay.
And the things you should be.
Yeah.
Respectable, so hospitable, you'd have to know that person to be able to tell.
Yeah.
It seems like the times when we've seen elders really go bad and they have a difficult time is when the church didn't really know them very well.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that it can't happen over time.
Right.
But when they didn't know them, yes.
I was going to say, you say that for lightweight.
The evangelical free, when an elder
murder
killed
of
his wife.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew his wife. They didn't know her, him.
Okay.
They just assumed that because he was married to her, a God.
That he was good.
Yeah, that he was.
Right? Okay.
But it is hard. It is hard to know the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay, let's look at verses 2 through 7 now. And so verse 1 says it's a good thing to desire to be an overseer. Mm-hmm. Verses 2 through 7 do what?
Qualifications.
The qualifications. And so, okay, big picture again. And focus on verses 2 through 7, big picture. Don't tell me about this particular one or that. But big picture, what's he talking about? Like, these things could all be filed under what category? Or, you know, that's how I'm thinking right now.
Character.
Okay, character. You look at the sort of things he says in verses 2 through 7, and he's dealing with character.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also, James 3 talks about the wisdom from above is peaceable, gentle, full of good words,
yeah,
and all the different things. Mm-hmm. And so you want someone who has the wisdom from above.
Right.
And so these are outward manifestations of the wisdom from above living in his life.
Okay. So if you have wisdom, you live like he's describing here. That's what you're saying. Yeah, that's true.
You're looking for someone who really is a servant of the Lord.
Yes.
Who really does follow.
Yes.
Has the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes, good.
And these are some of the results of this life.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how it plays out.
So if you look at the list... Character matters.
Amen.
Behavior matters.
Mm-hmm.
The heart matters.
Mm-hmm.
How about giftings? Skills?
Able to teach.
Okay. Able to teach. Any other giftings there?
Manage as well.
Okay. His household is...
Well, I mean, just is able to interact well with others.
Okay. Okay. So, but the focus isn't really on giftings and skills.
No.
The focus is on character, heart,
mm-hmm,
life.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the person's life. That's really what Paul's getting at. Have you ever seen elders or pastors who had great gifting, maybe speaking, preaching, whatnot, but not great character?
Too many times.
Sometimes we can get in, we can fall in love with great preaching and miss the man. Because he's such a great preacher that we miss him. And that's a mistake. We really need men, godly men. A godly man who's a very mediocre teacher is going to do more for the kingdom of God than a man who is not so godly but is a very gifted teacher.
It's interesting, if you go to a church and they're about to elect elders, what will you see in the description of that person?
Yeah.
Always their profession. That
not always. A few,
education.
One or two churches have been different.
We've been to some churches where they didn't, but where you can see that the thing that seems important is being successful.
Right.
In business or whatever.
Yeah, that does happen a lot, doesn't it?
Not any of these things. And I'm not saying they weren't. I'm just saying that
yeah.
If I look at the page and go, well, he's a banker or whatever, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that? That does it really
nothing.
Matter at all?
Yeah.
Like, is he honest?
That doesn't... Exactly. Exactly. Oh. So here's the thing. If you get a man with a right heart, you can teach skills, but you can't teach integrity.
You can try, but it's not...
I mean, you can teach it in the sense that you can talk about it and so on. But what you can't do is inculcate integrity into his heart. That needs to be there.
The difference between David and Saul.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Saul had a lot of gifting, but a bad heart.
Yeah.
That's right. David had a good heart. And so, but you can't teach purity or righteousness or these sorts of things. And these are the things that matter the most. Mm-hmm. When you're looking for an elder, you look for those things first. Okay, now we've talked big picture of qualifications. Let's start looking at some of these. We're not going to have time to go through every word that Paul mentions. But what I'm going to do is focus on some of the ones that have some, you got to interpret what this means, or there's some debate over what this means. And so we're going to focus on some of those. And if we have time, you know, later we can come back and talk about some of the others that maybe you want to talk about that we didn't get to. And who knows, if we don't get through this, we could continue next week here. We'll see how it goes, how the flow goes. Verse 2. Husband of one wife. What does that mean?
That was the hard thing in a lot of the early church was, in some cultures, they have multiple wives.
Okay, yes.
And they were telling some of the missionaries were telling them, if you want to be a leader in church, you have to dump a wife. And that was not of God.
Right.
That is a problem.
Yes.
That's not, I think it's faithful. I mean, faithful
okay.
to his marriage vows.
Okay.
And obviously, what if you're single?
Okay. So then, yeah, if you're single, could a... So what we're doing now is we're applying this to real situations, right?
Right.
So if you're single, can you be an elder?
It doesn't look like it.
Okay. Because it says you got to be a husband of one wife.
And manage your household. But it spends a lot of time on household management.
Okay.
But Paul was single.
Not Paul was single.
So Paul was single. Could Paul be an elder in Ephesus? How about Jesus? Jesus was single.
Yeah.
Could Jesus be an elder?
I think that
in a church?
I think this is general propositions.
Okay.
And that we follow the Spirit. I think that there are reasons why you would want them to be married, so that there isn't the temptation of other things. And also so you can see how do they handle interpersonal relationships in a loving manner.
Yes.
Because it's amazing how much that comes out in a family.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
You know, if the kids are massively rebellious, there could be a reason, because dad might be a dictator. I mean, you know.
Yeah. That's true.
So it's kind of a suggestion.
I think what Paul is doing.
That picture.
I think what Paul is doing is he is describing what is the norm. For most men, they're married.
Right.
And he's describing the norm. And I think what he's getting at is what you had talked about. You're faithful in your, we'll just call it your relations with women. Mm-hmm. You're faithful.
Right.
If you're married, you stay married. If you're married, you treat your wife well. If you're married, you're not looking at other women. If you're single, you're faithful with the women in your world. You know, you're not sleeping around. You're not that kind of thing. I think that's the idea.
That's what they're both.
I don't think we can be so strict and wooden with it that Jesus is now disqualified from being an elder in a church. And I just don't think that's what Paul means.
I think it goes back to the be above reproach.
Yes.
Yeah. Generally, in many cultures, unmarried men would be seen as lesser. They would not be above reproach.
Sometimes, yes. Although, so Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 actually talks about singleness as being a really good thing. And so that's not true of Paul.
Right, no.
Paul does not see singleness as second class status. And so, so the guy who says it's actually better for you to be single because then you can do more for the Lord actually might like a single guy as an elder. Right. And so that...
Timothy was single, wasn't he?
What's that?
Timothy was single, wasn't he? I assume.
I
don't know.
We don't know anything about Timothy's marital status. He could, obviously at some point he was single. He could have gotten married at some point along the way too. Who knows? We don't know. But husband of one wife is really getting at just being faithful with the women in your world.
Relations.
Yes, that's right.
It's not beat.
That's the idea that we're getting at here. Able to teach, verse 2. This is the main skill in this list that he gives. This is something that's not necessarily a character issue. There are people who are able to teach who have bad character.
Oh, definitely.
And so, what does it mean, able to teach?
It means they have to know the scripture.
Okay, they need to know the scripture.
Doesn't mean you have to be a good speaker.
Okay, that's right.
Able to pass on truths.
Able to pass on truth.
And communicate well,
okay. Yeah, able to teach.
Well, and communicate, not necessarily. I mean, because we know someone who was stuttered, but they communicated anything.
Guy stuttered, and he said, "I don't know if I can be a pastor." And they're like, "Oh no, it doesn't matter at all. I don't even notice it half the time."
Because yeah.
The things you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. Good.
Right. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. But in a sense, though, it's right. You're right. Mm-hmm. Though he was communicating well.
But not be like an orator, like oh.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Not necessarily.
Proud, puffed up, big words.
Be able to press on truth.
Okay. Able to pass on truth. Okay, so able to teach does not mean gifted to teach. You know, Paul elsewhere talks about the spiritual gift of teaching. Mm-hmm. That's not what this is. You don't have to have the spiritual gift of teaching to be an elder. But you do need to be able to explain to people the faith. I mean, if you're going to be an elder in a church, you need to know what the church believes and be able to tell people. Mm-hmm. And that's really what this is getting at with able to teach. Okay, let's look at verses 4 and 5. Actually, let's stop and see if you have questions on these, anything so far.
Just think that we forget so much about the above approach, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable.
Yes. Yeah, the above reproach, there's actually debate over whether or not after reproach there should be a colon.
Oh,
or a comma.
Those all go together, yeah.
In other words, above reproach, which consists of the whole list.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just one term in the list? Should it be a comma or should it be a colon? There's, mm-hmm. But whichever way you read that, it's kind of the same in the end anyway.
Right.
It doesn't really matter. So I sort of didn't go down that road because it doesn't matter. Verses 4 and 5. He must manage his own household well. And then he talks about, you know, the situations there. With dignity, keeping children submissive. If someone doesn't know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?
I think it's interesting it comes right after lover of money.
Okay.
Because I think there's a lot to being able to handle your own finances.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if you are struggling financially, you're going to be tempted to take.
Okay.
And if you're struggling financially, you're not going to be able to wisely counsel others on how to handle. Because money is, and the love of money and dealing with money is such a big part of our lives. I mean, and Jesus talks about it over and over.
Jesus talked about money a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's talking about more than that, right?
That the love, and at the beginning it's the love of money, but then it's, more than that. Because, I mean, if you're yelling at your kids all the time, or you're not paying attention to your children, or then why would you be a good shepherd? You know?
Yeah. If you can't shepherd your kids, can you shepherd God's people?
And if your kids are in a place of rebellion, not necessarily because of you, just because of them, you stepping up to that role could put them in grave danger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spiritually.
So let's try to apply this to real life situations. So pastor or elder, his daughter gets pregnant, or what I'm trying to do is give us real situations that we can start think through.
Does not necessarily
how to apply this to real life situations. Or we've got a pastor and the children are now adults and they've kind of gone off the deep end. They've dropped the faith. They don't follow God. They whatnot. Is this talking about that? Or is this talking about just while they're children in the home? And so you see how this can get complicated. Because in the real world, the real world's messy. And the real world has all sorts of different situations that come up. And okay, you got to manage your own household well.
Well, I would say that's what the adult children that are far off, that's where I think feel like, you know, if you step into a serious battle role, you might be putting them in more danger than should be, you know.
Okay.
That's where my more thought is. A child gets pregnant doesn't necessarily disqualify someone, but maybe they do need to step away to be there for that child.
Okay, sure.
I mean, there's...
How can you manage your household if they're not part of your household anymore? That's the question, too.
Well, yeah.
You manage your household, but then if you have adult children,
right?
And I'm just looking at the words. I'm not
sure.
How do you?
Yeah, like a good lawyer.
Do that.
I think that's when you look at, you know, what kind of relationships do you have,
right,
with those kids, and you know, how important is that to your heart? You know, how your kids are praying for them, not just you know, they're all around.
Yeah, if there is not a relationship continuing with those children, then I would be that would be a flag to me.
Yes,
because that. That's not the shepherd that Jesus is.
Right.
He still continues, you know, even when people go off the beam, he continues to pursue.
Okay.
And he is the father that runs out before they even confess. So if the father is like, they've gone off and they're being sinful and I'm shunning them, and I'm like, no, I don't think you're the loving shepherd. That,
okay.
That's just me.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
I think it does, yeah. But it also goes back to gentle, not quarrelsome.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I do believe that managing your own household refers to those who are living in your house. So that for me, if I had a man who was an adult, who had adult kids, and the adult kids kind of, you know, they're atheists now, that's not to me going to disqualify that man. Those kids aren't in his household anymore. Those kids have their own households. They're grown. They're gone. He doesn't, you know, he's not responsible for them any longer. Now, if those grown kids were 14 and 15 and under his household and they were doing the same thing, to me that's different. And there we, I may say to the man, hey, listen, you know, he may fit everything else. But we may say, you know, you need to spend some time with your kids. Just focus on your kids right now. And don't worry about the church. You focus on your kids. And then, of course, 5 years later, when the kids are gone, the man might come and be an elder. And so that's how I see the manage your household. I think it's referring to those who are now living in your household and not people who are, you're related to them, but they're gone. And like the pregnant, you know, his daughter is pregnant. It depends. We have to look at the situation. Is this a one-off thing? Or is the daughter, like, she sleeps around all the time and she's constantly getting pregnant and abortion, and this is a habit? Those are different situations to me. And a one-time thing is, you know, she sinned. How are they handling that?
Yeah, that's the kicker. How are we handling
that? And are they handling that with grace toward her?
Love
toward her? What's going on in the home concerning that? And obviously, you know, I'm not in the home, but you just have to maybe ask some questions on, you know, because you are going to find out that she's pregnant. And so there may be a time to say in that situation, you know, I think you need to take some time and just focus on your daughter. Or there may be it may be just the opposite. We may look at the way he's handling it and it's just a one-off thing, and we say, no, this doesn't disqualify you. And there's a lot of interpretation in who decides whether you're managing your household well, and how do you determine whether he's managing the household well, and what's the criteria you're using for whether he's managing the household well, and so on. And but I think that we need to approach it with again, not with like wooden stocks kind of thing, but with common sense. Any other questions on that one?
Well, I do think that, you know, the example of, you know, the daughter is pregnant, I think you can't just say, oh, that's a one-off thing. I think any time something like that happens, you really should look at asking that person to set aside and take some time with his family.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, 6 months or, you know, something like that, and we're gonna help you by helping you set aside, and we're going to help you by taking away responsibility so you can focus on your daughter. So I think that's a role of a church.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Whenever there's somebody in leadership, and that's why you're going to have accountability, you're going to have all these things, but to give that person great love by telling them, okay, you go away, we'll talk with you later, and we'll be praying for you.
Yeah.
Well, I think it helps too, because too many times people in leadership in the church feel that they need to hide their sins.
Right.
Which causes all kind of troubles in the church.
Right.
Rather than confess them to one another and pray for one another. And it's part of having mercy. It's just truly part of having mercy. But part of it too is we need to make sure that our belief in Jesus and our following Jesus is more important than any structure of any church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, there's, we'll take the example of the daughter gets pregnant. There's, you may say to the guy regardless to spend some time with her, but there are situations that would disqualify him. And there are situations that would not. And you may, regardless whether it disqualifies him or not, tell him he needs to spend some time, at home. But I think with that, a pregnant daughter, not every situation is going to disqualify him there, to me.
I just think it doesn't matter for a little while.
For a little while, yeah. Well, I think part of it, too, is the disqualification shouldn't be seen as shame.
Yeah.
Just because you're not qualified to be a leader of a church does not mean you should be in shame.
Right.
We are all disqualified from being a leader of a church. We are all sinners saved by the Lord. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of it is how it's presented and how it's handled.
Are we talking about two different things? So one is whether you're disqualified.
Yes.
Really, and the other is whether you should pull back from the amount of responsibility.
Yeah,
you're
that's
still
true.
Qualified.
Right.
Yes.
You don't, but it, just like if, Hondi's dad, if he's
was
an elder and needed to go, then he would not have that responsibility, but he would still be qualified.
That's right.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That's right. You're talking about shepherding. We should shepherd that guy. Mm-hmm. And we should shepherd that guy. But this is, we're talking here more about, is he qualified to be an elder or not? And there are times with that where I think he's still qualified to be an elder.
Right.
But yes, we should shepherd him.
At that moment, it could become disqualified, or someone who is disqualified can become qualified by the change of character, by the change of the situation.
Yeah.
Or never
change
his qualification.
What's that?
And if it never changed his qualification. There's a teeny story of it. Is it Hill Country UT? They're going over qualifications and what kinds of criteria there are in elder meeting, I guess. And so one of them was you're passing a strip bar and you see three of your church elders walk out. What do you think? And so they said, what if it's two elders going in to save a brother and pull him out of there and spend time with him? And so the first thing you think is all three of these men are complete sin. And so I thought, well, that was kind of interesting to think about what things look like.
Right, it's not wrong. Yeah.
But also I think things can look good. That just was an example.
But it's like you were talking about, one of the hardest things is that for all of, as sinful people, if you become in a position of leadership, it becomes something that's important to you to maintain.
Right.
So instead of being able to truly share with your fellow believers what's going on in your life, you're protecting that office.
Yeah.
It becomes the idol in your life.
That's so hard. It's not like there are times where you should move away and not do it because you know that you're not in that situation.
Yeah.
So, that's true.
Okay, verse 6. Not a recent convert.
Yes.
Why should a leader not be a recent convert?
Well, you've seen this. You have. Natalie. Yeah, because they do become, for one thing, they can't have all the fruits of the Spirit yet, and they don't know how to walk with Jesus in a long-term situation. But it does cause conceit. It really does. It's almost an automatic flip, because hey, I'm king of the Lord. Hey, I got the answers. Hey,
It needs to be maturity in that person's life.
Spiritual maturity,
which doesn't mean age.
Okay, yeah, there needs to be some spiritual maturity.
And yet sometimes I think we wait way too long.
That's right.
It's a hard balance to know when you see that person has matured long enough, and not, you must wait years and years, you know.
Well, sometimes they equate physical age with spiritual maturity. There can be some 20-year-olds that are a lot more mature than a 60-year-old.
That's true.
So,
sometimes we equate not just physical age, but how long have you been a Christian?
Oh, yeah.
With maturity. And there are people who have been Christians for 50 years who have never grown.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who've been Christians for 1 year who are more mature than those people who have been Christians for 50 years.
Yeah.
Because they've never grown. And so we're not looking at how old are you? You can be young and be an elder, despite, you know, what that word means in English.
Right.
You can be in the Lord for a shorter amount of time than others and be an elder over them. So that raises this question. He says, not a recent convert. How recent is too recent? How do you determine when someone is, okay, he's been a believer long enough? How do you determine that?
Wisdom.
Where's that line?
Wisdom from the Lord.
Okay, wisdom from the Lord.
Is there a line drawn?
Well, I think you go back to the above 2 through 5, you know, looking at the above reproach, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable. Is that come from following rules, or does that come from the fruits of the Spirit that are showing in this man's life?
Okay.
And sometimes when people come to the Lord, that flip is so easy to see how, where that turn is, and then you just let it ride for a bit. And, you know, I would think less than a year would probably be too fast, generally.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Okay.
You know, you're looking at the person, too, really for their welfare, because
the
devil does attack the leaders. I mean, it attacks everyone.
Yes.
But I mean, the
he
leaders
does.
Seem to have more here, and if you do it too soon, then this person would fall into the condemnation of the devil. And
that's right.
Don't want. I mean, it's not just for the
one,
it's for them
say.
Too.
That's what Paul says is the reason, right?
Yeah.
You need to be careful with them. Yes.
If you put someone in leadership too soon, they may be conceited. Puffed up with conceit is how Paul puts it. Have you ever seen people get leadership and get puffed up with conceit because of the authority that they have? He's saying with recent converts, that can happen really easy. And so you want to be careful with that. David, what you said earlier really is true, in that here Paul is saying not a recent convert, but sometimes we take that and we're too slow in putting people in leadership. And there's this, it's a delicate dance between is it too soon or is it too long? And what you're looking for is And Laura, this is what you had said earlier. What you're looking for is the characteristics that are described in verses 2 through 7. But in order to see those characteristics, you actually need some time. You don't see somebody, oh, he got saved yesterday, and oh, we know that he's got all these characteristics. You don't know that. He was saved yesterday. Take some time and observe him.
He may be getting them.
That's right. In time, are you seeing him grow? Are you seeing him moving in the right direction? Does he have a heart for God? How does he deal with people? Is he combative or gentle? How does he deal with money? Is he greedy or generous? How does he, you know, these are the kinds of things that you're looking for. And they're the same things that Paul lists elsewhere. It's just, you need some time to observe the man and see, does he have these qualities?
And in all of these, you have to know the person. You can't just
That's
see
right.
them once or twice a week. You have to spend time with them in their life.
Yes. That's right.
And that can't be, that's not something that can be bypassed and have it go well.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? I think we're going to stop here for time's sake.